Americans had traditionally had the lowest rates of death by suicide. But now, if you look at African American males, especially youth between the ages of 15 to 24, there's no difference between African American youth and white youth in the rates of suicide. And that's never been seen before. It used to be much lower. Lots of research studies demonstrating the impact of racism on African Americans, that it does cause extreme stress. In fact, some would say symptoms very similar to PTSD can be seen in African American youth, even if they've not been exposed to any other traumas. Racist behavior towards them can be considered traumatic experiences.
When you're not treated the same way your Caucasian brothers and sisters are treated when you go in for a loan for a house, and you're given a high interest loan, and the person with the same FICO score is given a loan at a much lower rate, then you're already behind. Most of your income is going to go in trying to maintain that house where they have disposable income because they don't have to pay as high a mortgage rate as the person next to them. It goes to opportunities and jobs.
But I think right now in our country, there is this overwhelming sense of, wow, I thought we had come farther along in our fight against racism, and yet we are seeing the same things we saw back in the 1960s or in the 50s or even in the 20s. And it's really disheartening for a lot of Americans, not just African Americans. I believe there are a lot of allies out there who are also disheartened by it. But yes, there is definitely healthcare inequities. Even looking at the health outcomes, you can tell that there's healthcare inequities. The average lifespan of an African American might be 67, and the average lifespan of a white American would be 75 or 72. Suicide is not caused by one particular thing. And in the African American community, even as you see the rates climbing, I can't just say it's just racism or it's just health inequity. I would say those factors contribute as well. I think there are vulnerabilities, there are history, there's adverse childhood experiences that makes a person more vulnerable. There are so many factors, so it's pretty complex.
Suicide touched me and my family directly with the loss of my younger brother. He was a very popular, artistic young man, tons of friends, tons of girlfriends when he was in high school. But right after my dad died, and what we've learned since then is a traumatic event may precipitate the onset of a serious mental illness. Not that you didn't already have it, but that will bring on the signs and the symptoms. So he was diagnosed when he was 17. My dad died of a massive heart attack suddenly at 48. And so my brother started exhibiting, in our minds, bizarre behavior. We did notice him drinking, and finally had to take him to the hospital because we didn't know what was going on. And unfortunately, he was misdiagnosed, as many young men of color are, with schizophrenia. And then later, the true diagnosis was bipolar disorder. And for us, that was a shock.
In 2015, I was diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I was sent to a psych ward for it because they were concerned about some things and just my overall safety. So that's when I first started receiving counseling. And prior to that experience, I believe, and then I just, you know, you have the everyday stigmas of like, oh, I'm a man, I don't need counseling, I'm strong enough to handle my issues by myself, or oh no, I'm fine, I'm okay. And I mean, as much as that's like an expected thing, I feel like, of men in society, it's something that really should like diminish, like, and hopefully sooner than later, because I know if I wouldn't have received help back then, I don't think I would be where I am today.
One of our teammates, he ended up passing it's been a couple of months now. And I was really close with him. You know, he was almost a brother, like almost like a brother to me. Our freshman year, we got really close. He helped me out with a lot of things. I helped him out with a lot of things. He was just a all around just a really good guy. So it hit me kind of hard probably harder than most, because some of the guys, we have a young team, some of the guys didn't really know him as well as I did, so it hit me a little hard.
I wasn't the type to get into too many, altercations or beef with anyone, so it was very alarming to hear something like that had happened to him. The unfortunate side of things is that, I've run in with death a lot. And I mean, it's not something you ever get used to, but it's something that you kind of just see, and it's like, okay, well, it's different this time than last time. But I mean, it didn't break me how I expected it to until the funeral. And at the funeral, it hit me pretty hard, just because you just never get used to seeing something like that. And then to know like what he's leaving behind, it was heartbreaking.
Really, for me, other than Janelle, I've only experienced one death in my lifetime. So I didn't really know how to deal with it. And then he was so close to me, I didn't really know how to deal with it. So as soon as I heard, the opportunity to go somewhere and talk about it, and hear from others, people older than me who may have more experience dealing with it, on ways that could help me. And then I viewed it as a chance to bond with my teammates as well. I wasn't ashamed. I didn't feel embarrassed. I didn't feel like I didn't want to go because of what someone else thought. It didn't really matter. I know that I felt like I needed that counseling. I needed that help to try to get me through that time. And it definitely did help. But like I said, prior to this, I didn't have a negative or really a positive view on it. I never thought I would be in a position to where I would need it.
When I seen the opportunity or whatever, talked to AJ about it, I mean, I didn't know exactly what to expect, because it had been a while since I had been, but I knew that it couldn't hurt at all just because of my experiences before. And I think this time I went into it with a more mature mentality or idea of what it may be. And that helped me out a lot, like when I was going through it.
You know, you can understand what mental health issues are and work with physicians and psychologists, psychiatrists, and others to address the needs of those who have serious mental illnesses. But part of it is finding the right clinician, finding the right medication.
My last relationship, the girl that I was dating, she got to a point in life where she felt like, that was the only way out. I was on the phone with her. Well, actually, I wasn't on the phone with her initially. She was popping pills. I don't know what exactly they were, but she was just popping pills. And she told me, she was like, tell my mom, I love her. I can't do this anymore. Goodbye. And the main thing that I was saying to her was, think about who all this will affect. Yes, your pain will cease, but so will so much more. Your life, the way that you affect people, the positive impact that you've had on people's lives, your mother, your brother, your sister, your nephew, your grandparents, it's going to affect so many more people. The pain that'll be gone, but not only your pain is gone, your life is gone. You're gone from this earth. You won't get that back. There's always other ways.
African-American women still have the lowest rates of suicide in our country, but even their rates are climbing slightly. And so there is no demographic that is immune.
Surround yourself with people who respect and support you as an individual, and particularly a young person of color. Many of our young people are trying to fit in. I watch it and I can see it more profoundly with our immigrants and refugees who have different cultures and whose clothing is different. They want to fit in, and so they immediately want to adopt the way their friends at their high school or junior high or elementary school are dressing, but it goes against their culture and religion. And so there's a disconnect and disagreements with their parents and grandparents. The vast majority of young people are accepting of everyone. But then you get some bullies and some people who have grown up probably in a negative environment. Then they're gonna say something hurtful. And unfortunately, our young people, in some cases, are bullied into joining the club. And for a young person of color, you've got to surround yourself with the people who are going to support you.
We've been through pandemics before. We've been through race riots before. We've been through all kinds of horrible situations, and we've always come out of them. And if you can remember that, that's one of the reasons we have history classes, because it's not just so that we don't repeat history, but that we learn from it, but also know that we can overcome. I believe there is hope. I know that we are overcomers, and we've overcome a lot before, and we're going to overcome this again. This is really hard, and this is really painful, and this is very real. But it doesn't mean that it's the end, that there are always ways to overcome.